what he's done for us, but also let's, if you have something personally to pray for, you can pray that out loud or to yourself. So, Lord, we just thank you again for this morning. Thank you for those that have come and ask that you bless this time. Lord, we do lift it up to you, knowing that you are here. I pray for myself, Lord, that just you'd speak through me today. Speaking to our hearts as well. And I just ask again for those that are traveling that you'd be giving them safe passage.
Beginning a new series this morning that we'll run through the end of the year about relationships. And so as we meditate on our horizontal relationships with other people, we can also meditate on a relationship with the Lord. Not our individual ones as much, but also our corporate ones that we share with other people. It's this really interesting dynamic the Lord has created in our community and relationships with each other. Let's stand and praise the Lord, community.
So I did have a few announcements today I wanted to cover. I just wanted to say I really appreciated singing together and worshiping together. I was thinking that song is really based on the truth of Scripture, that God, I was thinking of the parable of the wedding feast, where not enough people came, and God went out in the streets, and he said, everyone, he sent my servants out, everyone come to the table, come as you are, come as you are. And God always does that. He doesn't say, get your life all straightened out. He says, come just as you are and lay down your burdens. That's the heart of the Lord. That's the one of the reasons we're here, is to encourage people to come to God, and he will work. So I appreciate worshiping together. So just a few, actually several important announcements. The Fusion Conference we've been talking about, the registration page is up, and one of the new features we've added is is the ability to have a family and young children's track. It's January 2nd to the 5th, and that's at the Wisconsin Dells. So you can go to FusionMidwest.com for pricing and registration information. So we're excited about that. You've got about 6 weeks to get in on the early registration. If you want to check that out, it'd be good to get moving on that. Last week we were able to go out because the weather was nice and knock on some doors with our Hispanic outreach group who's running our Bible study on Wednesday nights, and we connected with a lot of families. We're going to do that today at 1 o'clock if you want to. I know some people find that intimidating, but it is fun to go do that. So they're going to come back today at 1, and we're going to do a little more of that because the weather's nice. In a couple weeks, it just gets kind of too cold to do that, so we want to take advantage of the warm weather while we can. And we're finding a lot of the Hispanic community just likes to connect, and it's a good thing to invite to have their children come and come to the Bible study. So we're doing that today at 1. If you can help us out, that'd be great. And last but not least, our regional leaders meeting, which is the old GCLI, is November 8th and 9th. And that registration page is up on our website. If you go to our website, you'll see it on the top tab. And if you're interested in coming, please register. It's really a great time. We've got 6 churches around the Midwest who gather together, and we're talking about how to reach people with the gospel and with the truth in a post-Christian era when a lot of the culture is kind of going, well, we don't know about that. We don't know if God's real. And we're going to talk about how that works today and how we're doing that. And you're going to hear from other churches and what they're doing and what they think is working and what's not working and kind of the struggle with that. So so look at glenarbor.org and you can get registered for that. One other reminder, our high school and college group has moved to 4 o'clock on Saturdays. It runs from 4 to 6. So if you meet anyone who wants to come to that, be at the church here at 4 p.m. on Saturdays. So anyway, that's all the announcements I had for today. We're going to have the ushers go to the back of the room and get the baskets and take our offering. This is your chance to participate and give your offerings to the Lord. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming this morning. And we're finished our Beatitude series last week, and we're starting our new series, Building Bridges in an Angry World. And Today we'll be talking about being a friend when you are afraid. And we live in an ever-increasing angry world. We're choosing sides, making posts, driving everything to its political value. And lines are kind of drawn in the sand, and swords are drawn. Do you guys kind of sense that a little bit? That's what's going on. And then we read in our Bibles, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. Well, so be it, as long as my candidate wins. You ever maybe felt that way? We all feel that. In the midst of all this, we're supposed to love God, love our neighbor, be a light, be a friend, be tasty salt, be moral, and be at peace. And that seems to be asking a lot of little old us. And that has been the impetus of this series that we're kind of going into, is how can we shine as a little corner church, this little lighthouse, in the darkness of anger and hatred that's all around us? What can little old me do? I'm afraid. I might feel afraid. I'm alone. I'm scared, ill-equipped, and I'm not very good at this. How can I be a soldier in a cause when the battlefield is not about souls, or it feels like it's not about souls, but about winning arguments? How can I be a friend when I am afraid? And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So, there we go. The topic we're going to talk about is being a bridge builder. How do we commit to that? Saying that's showing that it's not easy, but it is doable. It's not simple, but it's understandable, and that it's not practical, but it is necessary. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing in our midst, how you're building bridges even in our relationships with one another, with our maybe coworkers, family members, acquaintances, neighbors, people that we know. Lord, I ask that you'd be showing us a little bit how we can be a bridge builder today. In your name we pray. Amen. So building bridges of relationship is intended to connect a person to yourself in a way, and this is when I talk about bridge building, that exposes you in such a way that you could be hurt, but also gives that person an opportunity to experience a relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ, because of your connection to him as a child of God. It is an intentional, though it's not an easy, it is not simple, and it is not practical, but it is necessary. All your relationships are not easy or simple or practical. But here's some things that I think might be helpful to you when you think about building a bridge. So you'll see in my presentation lots of pictures of bridges, various types of bridges that might give you an idea. So the first item, and if you're going to be a bridge builder, is you got to decide that, first of all, it's all about souls, not about you. Sometimes our relationship, we think, oh, all my relationships are about me. What am I? Can I get out of this? It's not about that. It's about their souls, and it's not about you. So, for example, there's this reference in 1 Corinthians 6, 10, 12, and these particular verses I'm not going to show you. I'm just going to read to you. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor the drunkard, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. If we say we care about people, this would be on the forefront of our mind, no matter who they are. You probably have met one of these people that are on this list. You might have been one of these people on lists. I know I was. And I'm glad someone reached out to me. It is not their, you notice this list doesn't have what political party they belong to. What's their race? What are their preferences? This is talking about their internal destiny. God will not ask you who you voted for. He will ask, why should I let you in? And that answer is, Jesus died for my sins. Jesus paid the penalty for me. Thank goodness he didn't think, oh man, what a loser. So you have to be decided, understand this is about souls. You need to decide you're committed to it, and it's for their sake. And Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. This is Paul talking. This is for the long haul, the marathon. You know, just had the Chicago Marathon last weekend, right? So I've thought about running in that marathon. We were talking about that yesterday. It's like, wow, you know, can I run 26 miles? You know, I run 3 miles at a time. It's like, well, if I put 3 miles times, I might be able to do it. And I thought, no, probably not. You know, at least not and live. So I asked myself for that. But as far as this race, this marathon that I'm in, I often ask myself, am I the 1 in 30? And what I think about that is there's a statistic that says only of 30 people that start in ministry, only one stay in ministry. That's a pretty consistent statistic that's maintained. Everybody that enters interest into ministry, 29 of your friends are not going to stay in ministry for one reason or another. Some quickly, some in the middle. So that's like saying, of your 30 guys that people or 30 friends that start in ministry, that start the marathon, only one make it. And I wonder, am I that person? This will be difficult. It will be hard. But joy comes in the morning. And that's what I'm counting on. And that's what I've kind of decided. If I've decided I'm committed to this, then that's what I've decided for the long haul, for the marathon. I might have come this far. Decide you're going to carry the cross that he asked you. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This commitment is the difference between being an affiliate and being a disciple. Many people go to church and act nice. This is the work, though, the building of the bridges to people who might end up hating you, or they might accept Jesus and thank you. Most will go nowhere. Most relationships that you have will not complete, will not bring them through. Most will not. But that is the cross that we bear. And if we really want it, that is the cross that we bear if we really want to be out there doing this. Number four, decide if you're going to give your life for it, because he did for you. In 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, indeed, all who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus Christ will be persecuted. We've said this before. So if you decide to try and build bridges, you will be persecuted. It will be difficult. Why? Because Satan does not want you to do that. And your activities in this area will bring the attention of the enemy. And he will make it difficult for you. I have many times thought that I had a good relationship with somebody only to have the rug pulled out from underneath at the last minute because of one thing or another, gossip or slander. Or I remember in college, I had built these relationships with other Christians, and they heard some gossip about our group, and they wouldn't associate with us anymore. And it took only a second. All of that time was gone. But this is what Jesus wants us to do, live for, and commands. He was betrayed as well. So he says, go. He says, go. Make disciples. He doesn't say, well, only if it feels right. Only if everything, and I promise that everything will be fine and you won't experience any pain at all. It's just the opposite. That takes, to make disciples takes building bridges, sharing the truth over those bridges to a dying, hateful world. If we really believe this, that's what it really means. That's what we're really signing up for. So the fifth point is, Greg, you are not alleviating any of my fears. On this, your teaching is labeled incorrectly. I wish I could say anything today that will comfort all your fears. It probably won't completely eliminate them. Yet, it will be a challenge to go forward even when you are afraid. I didn't. So if you remember the title, let me read the title of the teaching so I remember what I said. So being a friend when you are afraid, not being a friend without any fear at all. It's when you are afraid, and you will be afraid. I've been afraid. That's the way it's going to be. I will say, though, some things today that will maybe help think about relationships in a different way. And I hope will help make things easier if you decide to change the world with your life. And that's what I hope to do today. So our first item here is, this is not easy, but it is doable. So the first that comes to mind is, boy, that's hard to read, isn't it? I'm sorry. John 15:18, I'll read it for you. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. People have pre-opinions about you or Jesus, or we believe they do. People are caught up in sin and anger and hatred. All of it now is enhanced at the speed of light. All of it. With the power of technology behind it, right? Friendships and relationships are largely becoming electronic. At least for us, at least for our the generation to come. But it has started with us. So it kind of reminds me, and I have to bring this up, it reminds me of this Star Trek episode, the pilot. So it reminds me of the very first Star Trek episode ever, which, you know, it's there's these people, these guys here. I guess they're the only three left. I don't know. But it's talking about their lives. So that what they've done is they've, instead of actually living lives, they live through the dreams of others, like kind of like, and they say it's a narcotic, and so, and it's like they live through other people's lives, and so, and it's like a narcotic when you stop dreaming and building, and you just sit and live and relive other lives left behind in the thought record. That's what's said. So you could say, well, that's kind of like Facebook, right? So I'm not saying that you'll look like this by the time Facebook comes around, but maybe, I don't know. You know, Star Trek's always right. So, but I want to read a couple from this article a little bit by Drew Brown. The title of this article says, "What keeps us from having deeper relationships?" So this is what he says. Now, I'm not saying I agree with everything, but this is what he says. I thought it was interesting. We've accumulated, this is how he titles it, forming ideal lives of our social media feeds. We've accumulated an entire database of friends, retaining names and facts, but omitting relationships and memories. Hey, remember that one time we chatted on Facebook and shared the Google image of that beach we both want to go to? Yeah, neither do I. The internet has afforded each of us to live dazzling lives that aren't ours. It leaves the run-of-the-mill so that we can look so that we look like some sexy adventure-seeking friend-getting machine. The internet has afforded each of us to live. Our scroll through my Instagram will show you California, Oklahoma, and Colorado, outdoors, mountains, weddings, and playgrounds. However, it won't show you Netflix, lonely Friday nights, textbooks, or that one night I spent sick in the bathroom 3 weeks ago. It leaves out the run-of-the-mill so we look like something different. We know the real story behind our own social media accounts, but somehow we think everyone else's life is more exciting than ours. This is what he's saying. We are all mad scientists creating Frankenstein when it comes to social media modeling. The life we create turns its head, opens its eyes, and becomes a monster. We start feeling down if we can't find something worth posting on a daily basis. On top of all that, I am trying to be cool, culturally aware Christian on social media just because I want more followers. After all, there's nothing like being affirmed by a few hundred Twitter followers that I'm a good Christian. I tweet because I am self-conscious. That's what he said about himself. If that truly is the case, then our electronic relationships are with people that don't really exist, unless we know them personally. Technology is great. Like anything else, it can be used well or not well. That's kind of my opinion. Drew is warning of where it is not well. So something to look at for our own lives, that you might want to look at your own lives, because we can be our own worst enemy. So which is ourselves? So there's us. We are distracted. We're afraid. Maybe we feel totally inadequate or just start a conversation with someone who is different from us. Culturally, physically, religiously, or politically. We are very comfortable around the familiar. That's just the way we are. We like our typical seats, our typical people, our typical zone, right? Why mess that up? Because people need relationships. They need Jesus. This is not easy. There are obstacles, but here's why it is doable. It's not easy, but it is doable. People need relationships. They need real relationships. They are afraid as well. They're afraid to meet you as much as you're afraid to meet them, because you could be mean. Basic principle is relating to every human being that a basic principle related to every human being is that you can tap into. You can tap into these things. They are looking for someone to reach out to them despite whoever they are. So, for example, I have a person that I work with that recently has been going through a personal crisis at home. So he's a father of four teenage girls, which is a crisis of itself. Right? But he's a single dad. And there was a crisis related to one of his daughters, so he has to leave. You know, he has to tell me that he's leaving, and that he might be out for quite a while dealing with this thing. So he starts talking to me about it, and he is clearly choked up about it. But he has this persona, which is kind of interesting, which is not a persona I have. It's different from mine, you know. He's a tough biker dude, right? He comes in brum, 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 on his Harley Davidson. And so if I ask him about his, hey, how's that Harley doing? Oh, he'll tell me all about his Harley Davidson, right? Do I know anything about Harley Davidson? Nope. I have no idea. Never rid on a bike. All I remember about motorbikes or motorcycle bikes is my mom said, don't you ever get a motorcycle. Ever. If you ever get a motorcycle, I'll kill you. Which seemed kind of the opposite of what you would want, but anyway, she didn't. And of course, the first thing my brothers did is they went out and got themselves a motorcycle when they could. I never did that. I listened to you, Mom. People need the Lord. They need these relationships. That's the advantage. Here's the greatest advantage. You have the Lord as your personal Savior. If you really believe He needs that, or she needs that, then you're going to want to attach them to that. So to build bridges with people, step one, go out and talk to as many people as you can while smiling. That's how it's going to happen, right? No. It is not that easy. If this is not easy, you will need to make sure you are abiding in the vine. You cannot do it under your own power. You might be for a little bit, but without Christ, you're going to wear out, or something's going to happen if you try to do it on your own. And this is, if you get nothing else out of today's teaching, I want you to hear this. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I cannot stress this enough. If you want to build bridges in people's hearts or to work with people in general, including other Christians, you must have a personal, ongoing, strong relationship with God. You must be a master of the daily devotional with him. You know, if you say, I'm depressed, discouraged, down and out, why on earth do you think anyone would want to have a relationship with you? Have you taken that to the Lord on a daily basis, or are you taking it to your friends? Oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, man. Be with that guy. Are you in prayer for others? Are you walking with the Lord? If not, it will make meaning relationships very, very, very difficult. Without this connection, We will see relationships as serving us rather than serving others. As soon as it becomes about us, the bridge that is built leads to you rather than leads to Christ, where you want them to go. And you'll be disappointed. To be a good bridge builder, we have to go to the designer of bridges and follow the manual on bridges. We have to build our bridge to Jesus first before we can lead others to over it. Let's see if I have this verse. I think I do. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It is not easy to do this, to start and keep relationships and build upon them, repair them. Dean's going to talk about that in a couple weeks, how to repair relationships. Mike's going to talk in a few next week, about the foundation of friendships. We can't do it or anything without being connected to the vine, Lord Jesus. No matter what happens, he is there and he will never let go. He does not promise it will be easy. In fact, he promises it won't be. He does promise that through it all, we will be held. I'm in the second half of my century, and I can tell that you through it all, my Lord Jesus has never, ever, ever forsaken me. Though all, through all the pain and sorrow and joy and love and disappointments, he has always been there for me and has been and is, will be for you too. And you will need him if you're going to get into this. There was a Daylights article, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago, by Dawn Bovenmeyer, and I asked her permission to be able to share this with you. I'm just going to read the second half of it. This is called A Song of Seasons. She says, "Recently I found myself weeping alone over photo albums of our family for years past, remembering our kids as babies, then children, and now grown men and women. Was that even me back then? Such a seemingly long season ago. Yet there is one unchanging common denominator in all my seasons, God. Through them all, he has been there as my creator and father, who has brought me into this world and has carried and sustained me through all my days, just as he has faithfully been there in all my yesterdays. So he will be there for all my tomorrows." He will be there for you. It's not easy to have relationships. It's not easy, but it is doable with him. Second one is, relationships are not simple, but understandable. This person, Q, this is another Star Trek reference, says, he has this great quote, "Relationships are so hard," right? And much is based on our experience. So I'm going to talk a little bit about maybe a little, if extroverts versus introverts. So introverts are, we would think, or excuse me, extroverts, we think, oh, extroverts, I'm not an extrovert, so they're so much better at relationships than introverts, and we think introverts are nothing but, you know, nerds that sit in a corner and play video games. That's what we think, right? That simply is untrue. Both have strengths and weaknesses in relationships and can be very, very effective, or both can fail miserably, right? So here's some differences that you've probably heard about. So extrovert gains emotional strength by being around others. They love being around others. That really, really gives them energy. Introverts, that sucks the life out of them, right? So I'm an introvert, and I can say that. So I gain emotional strength by being alone, and then I'm ready to be with people. It's not like, I can't stand being around Gonzo again. Man, it just drives me crazy. It's going to suck the life out of me. But no, I enjoy being around people, but eventually it just run out of energy. Emotional energy. So extrovert tends to have many relationships. Introvert tends to have fewer relationships. Extrovert tends to see relationships as a function of others' efforts and value, with themselves as the center, inside looking out. Where an introvert tends to see relationship as a function of their efforts and value, their value, with the other individual as the center. So you see the difference there, outside looking in. Extrovert strength is they're a gatherer of many, and they see all relationships as equally important. Where a strength of an introvert focuses on a few deeper relationships and sees the importance and truth and service to others in a relationship. Their weaknesses are an extrovert can tend towards many shallow relationships and a weak and an introvert is can have tend toward no relationships, like an extreme would be an hermit, right? So knowing your tendency will help you immensely in developing relationships. So if let's say, because if you keep comparing yourself to others, then you are going to say, I'm not as popular as Susie, right? And Susie's not a member of our church, so we're not, none of us are as popular as she is. So we might say that. So not as it's not a popularity contest. It's about building bridges because we want the Lord to use us as he created us. He created us this way. So this is another excerpt from Drew Brown's article, What Keeps Us from Having Deeper Relationship. He says, we try to be best friends with everybody. I grew up thinking that because I was a Christian, everyone had to be my best friend. I had to be like everyone, and everyone had to be like me and know my life story and be my accountability partner. By the time I made it to college, I couldn't do it anymore. Would you say he's an introvert or extrovert? What do you think? Extrovert, I would say. My inner circle was as wide as the Pacific, and I didn't have the relational energy to build a bridge across it. I've since realized that Christians misrepresent friendship when they claim everyone to be their friend. Jesus was not friends with everybody. Christ had his 3, his 12, and his 5,000. He did not suffocate with, I've never heard this acronym before, FUMOF. Do you guys know what that is? I've never heard that. FUMOF, fear of missing out on friendships. FOMO? Oh, thank you. Gosh, I'm not as popular as Dean. Because he knows what that means. That's an acronym, by the way. Yeah. There were probably some great men and women in the crowd of 5,000 who sat eating the fish and loaves, right? But Jesus was purposeful about being with the 12. Today, there's an extreme pressure to get to know everyone. We feel like we aren't being fair to others if we grow deeper with one person and not another. We feel the need to spread ourselves among the 5,000 rather than the 3. I can only be friends with so many people. And when he's saying friends, he's saying deeper relationships. I waste my time trying to be everything for everyone and end up being nothing for everyone. Sitting alone, watching Friends, the show, reruns on a Friday night. In order to understand how to have real friends, we must learn how to start small and remain intimate. In this whole series, you're going to hear about a lot of things to do, but I don't want to give those all away. I'm just going to give some quick, easy pointers that I think will be helpful. Here's pointer number one in relationships. It's not simple, but it is understandable. Be a good listener. Reflect on what a person is saying, in fact, and in emotion. Hear what they're saying. Don't react to it. Don't react to it right away. Be slow to speak. Have good body language. This is bad body language. Okay? This is good. Right? You know, there are many, many different ways you can look like you're not listening to that person over there. Oh, yeah, I'm listening, whatever you're saying. Yeah. Ask questions. Be good question asker. So about them, you know, you don't want to be asking questions. Do you think I look okay? That would be a bad question to ask. How are you doing in this? How's that thing you told me about last week? How's that going? That shows that you're truly interested, and that will take many, many times of that. One of Proverbs says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame. Next pointer, and I'm going through these a little quick, is to die to yourself. Show interest in other people. They need you desperately, and they need Jesus via you. Find out about them. Talk little about yourself. And this area I really could grow in. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I was talking with the employee, says he was talking about his family. I let him talk about his problems. And he has real problems, like any parent does. I don't have to solve them. I just listened. I just listened, and I looked for an opportunity. My opportunity that I wanted to do was that he has four daughters. I want it. They live close. They're in Batavia. I can invite them to Awana. Four daughters, four Awana, new Awana kids. I want to connect them to Jesus, not because I want necessarily for the program, but for to connect his family to Jesus. So that's my next step with him. And that, by listening and not talking about me, not talking about all the how my issues relate to their issues, but really how it's about him. I'm building a bridge one step at a time, one rope at a time. This is another expert. It's not practical. This is the last section. It's not practical, but necessary. So he says, this is called using technology as a crutch in our relationships. Before the invention of the air conditioner, families would spend hot summer nights sitting out of their porches and talking to their neighbors. Before the internet, there was a sharing of communication through printed books and interviews. Rest in peace, Borders. Before cell phones, there were landlines, and they only talked and didn't text. Before GPS, there were maps and gas stations and having to stop and ask for directions. Now we don't have to ever again. Before Netflix, there was Blockbuster. Rest in peace again. Before and more efficient with work and less meaningful with human... I'm sorry, becoming more and more efficient with work and less meaningful with human interactions. No friendship is based on efficiency. Friendship is spending time with someone, intentionally setting aside time to look someone in the eye, to hear their voice, and to watch their eyebrows furrow or cheeks get red. It is not an efficient exercise. In fact, friendship necessitates, never mind. Friendship makes inefficiency important. It is days spent gazing at ocean waves rather than writing job applications. Evenings spent drinking coffee with a friend rather than essay. School nights spent watching sports or movies or playing games rather than studying or reading or sleeping. Jobs are practical. Getting good grades is practical. Networking is practical. Friendship is not. So getting into a relationship and deep friendships takes balance and time. It is a fine line. People might misinterpret you and get angry. That might happen. It is an angry world. They might say something offensive. So what do you do? Well, the thing I say is keep your cool. Don't panic. Don't react right away. Don't react to attacks. Stay calm and be a disciple. One verse that comes to mind, know this, my beloved brothers, James 1:19, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. The person that shared the gospel with me was named Andy Wright at Michigan State University. Yeah, all right. When he shared the gospel with me, I know I was offensive to him. And with many of the things I said, it was who I was. The thing that caught my attention was how cool-tempered he was. I knew whatever he had, I wanted. I may not have acted like it, but deep down I was going, whatever this guy has, I want that. Later on this whole week, I've been waiting for this opportunity. So my coworker came again to me and talked. We ended up talking about his situation, and that was when I said, hey, you know, would you be interested in, it sounds like you're going through a lot. I think this might be helpful to you. So I was able to invite him to Awana. And, you know, whenever you give start like that, you go, here's this, you know, will they hurt me? Oh, thanks. The bridge was built. The bridge was there already for him to walk across. So I didn't get the bad, you know, whatever response might happen, or him going to HR and saying, he tried to invite me to a religious meeting, you know. He said, thanks, I really needed that. Because it showed that you care. That's what he said. I want to introduce him to my friend. I am bridge building. My friend is Jesus. I am bridge building one interaction at a time. Because that's what Jesus did for us. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. I want my friend to be his friend too. This is where what we just covered. And being a bridge builder, in order to be a bridge builder, you have to be linked to the vine. It's not easy but doable. It's not simple but understandable. It's not practical but necessary. This is a last quote from Drew Brown. He says, "If God were practical, I think he should have given up on me a long time ago, but he calls me his friend, and friendship is not easy, simple, or practical." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this time, and thank you that we can, as we enter into this whole region of building bridges with people that we may be scary or different from us, we just ask that you would build those bridges. Lord, only you can do that in our lives. And we ask that we build our bridge with you first, stronger, better, Lord, and then so we could lead people across it. By your grace, in your name, we pray these things. Amen. Next week, Mike's going to continue this with building the foundation of friendship.